All right, hello and welcome to Magic Mind Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Ed Kraft, here on our Mysterious Monday broadcast. And with me also tonight for a special appearance is author Tamara Thorne. Tamara's also our co-host for Ghost Hunter Thursdays, and she is going to be with us tonight as we interview Dr. Daniel Benor. Dr. Benor is quite a unique individual, and we are glad to have him with us tonight. Many of you out there listening are familiar with holistic medicine, but Dr. Benor has a very unique aspect and a very unique take on it. Of course, his latest book is Bioenergy and Healing, and he also has a website on air, which is the IJHC website, or the International Journal of Healing and Caring. For those of you who are not familiar with him, he's a holistic psychiatrist. His psychotherapy tends to blend elements of intuitive and spiritual awareness and spiritual healing. He covers many subjects such as meridian-based psychotherapies, chakra therapies, and he uses all of these things in terms of, psychotherapy. So without further ado, how are you tonight, Dr. Benor?
I'm just delighted to be with you, Ed.
All right, Dan. I'll call you Dan if you don't mind.
Please.
And Tamara, how are you tonight?
I'm great. How about you?
Doing great. Let's kind of start things out here. Can you tell us a little bit about what exactly it is you do? Now, most people are familiar, Dan, with the concept of holistic medicine, and they think of herbs. How does this apply to psychiatry or psychotherapy?
Well, when I went into psychiatry, that was back in the mid-60s, the profession was mostly psychotherapy. Over the years, it's shifted to where it's almost exclusively medication. And I've refused to go along with that because it feels to me that people are more than just chemicals. So I've explored different ways to help people through brief and potent interventions so that I could maintain my integrity and sanity in what I'm doing.
What sort of interventions? As compared to, you know, allopathic medicine.
Right. What I've started doing is to include spiritual awareness as a part of what I talk about with people so that they can draw on their own spiritual resources. I've then studied how to develop my own healing gift, as in the laying on of hands, as in Reiki, therapeutic touch sort of healing, as well as healing by intent.
Oh, I'm familiar with that one, yes.
And so a part of what happens in a session is healing. Now, much of my training has to do with self-healing. Mm-hmm. And people can really access enormous capacities for relaxation, for integrating new materials in their lives, for releasing old hurts, old habits. And some of the ways that I help them to do that are through what we call meridian-based therapies.
Great, that was my next question. So you beat me to the draw on that one. Go ahead. I'd like to know more about that.
Yeah.
Now, when we talk about meridian-based, are we talking along the lines of, or similar lines to, say, acupuncture or acupressure, as they, you know, they're based on meridians that run through the body anyway?
Yes, Ed. It's based precisely on that. But you don't need someone to do it for you. You can do it yourself in order to release old hurts. The originators of the techniques include thought field therapy with Roger Callahan, and the one that I studied was emotional freedom technique with Gary Craig. And they've developed a series of points that work to release various emotional and psychological hurts or disbeliefs, like if a person feels I could never be loved or I could never succeed in something. That's just a belief that can be changed.
So you propose doing this rather than feeding someone Prozac or?
Well, fortunately, it's hard to develop a practice as a psychiatrist doing that because people come to me expecting medication.
Oh, yeah.
So Which I find ironic. I'll tell you, I'm going to interject here. I find it ironic that people go to a doctor about problems that affect their mind, and the first thing that they expect at the same time is something for their body.
Well, part of that is a good sell job that the drug companies have done.
Yes.
Where people feel that they can get a quick fix through popping a pill. And the way I see it, if you use medication alone, it's sort of like screwing the lid on the pot that's boiling in order to keep it from boiling over, rather than turning down the heat under the pot.
And that's really the very definition of holistic. It's whole body instead of treating a symptom.
Yes.
And Tamara,
that's also why I use the W in holistic.
Oh, yeah.
Because many of the people who are using holistic these days are just using a modality. There are doctors who will use some acupuncture and they'll say they're holistic because they're needling people for pain. And certainly that's better than just using medications, but it's far from addressing the person as a whole being. Addressing their body is one part, but you need to get to their emotions, their belief systems, their relationships, and their spiritual awareness.
Well, now, Dan, in your recent issue of your online journal, the International Journal of Healing and Caring, which for everybody out there who wants to check this out, you can do so either by going through our website at www.magicmind.net or at www.ijhc.org. And you can follow along with what I'm talking about here. My question is, in this editorial, you talk about, in fact, it's even titled this, you talk about that in the editorial, but you mentioned several times throughout it all that the body, emotions, mind, relationships, and spirit all have to be kind of tuned up and in line together. Is that correct?
If a person is going to feel whole, then they can't neglect parts of themselves. So this is how I do my best to help people. I find that in our society, we've split people up. One of my favorite cartoons is from Germany. It's a man who's coming to a hospital, and there's a sign that ENT is this way, ear, nose, and throat, and ophthalmology is that way, and psychiatry is that way, and you see in the next picture, his eyes are going off towards the eye part, and the ears are going off towards the ear doctor, and it's really, you know, making the point that we've split people up for our therapeutic convenience into subspecialties, and we've done that across the board, so that not only in medicine, but in psychotherapy, you wouldn't see a doctor, you'd see a psychologist or a social worker. And if you have an ache in your spirit, then you'd see a clergy person. And I keep thinking when I talk about this of Bernie Siegel's wonderful story about a woman who came to him from another surgeon. She came to him not because she was against what he was doing, but because he wasn't doing enough. And she told Bernie that when she woke up from anesthesia, her previous surgeon was there holding her hand. and he had tears in his eyes, and he said, "I'm so sorry, my dear. I wasn't able to get all of the tumor out, and all we can do now is to hope and to pray." So she asked him, "Well, how do I do that?" And he said, "Well, I'm sorry, that's not my department." He came to Bernie Siegel, who's a surgeon who also addresses the spiritual. I feel that physicians ought to be healers in the full sense of the word. So one of my dreams is, through educating medical students, to bring back the old-time doctor who was really there for the person in every which way, not just for the body.
Well,
I have
go ahead, Tamara.
I have a friend who's an osteopath, and she, in fact, quit the HMO, big HMO she worked for, because they wouldn't let her follow her instincts. They wouldn't let her play detective.
Yes.
And so doctors are actively encouraged not to. And, you know, I know half a dozen people who are staying away from them because nobody wants to take anti-cholesterol drugs, and the doctors are completely brainwashed.
Sure.
And I guess psychology and psychiatry, same thing with the SSRIs and ADD in particular. I'm very ADD, and without it, I couldn't write books. It's not a bad thing. And, you know, Western medicine, oh, that's a disease. No, it's not. It's sideways thinking. But all this stuff, it just... Western medicine is so involved with itself, and it's so young.
Yes.
Very immature.
And worse than that, it thinks that it knows everything.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't say this with prejudice against my colleagues, because before my mind and spirit were open to healing, I was one of the worst skeptics. Having been trained in psychology and medicine and psychiatry and research, I was just sure I knew how it was. I was sure that healing was nonsense. And it wasn't until I actually observed a healing and found that a healer could bring about a change in half an hour that was medically impossible that it opened my mind to new possibilities. That was back in 1980. And since then, I've been studying healing in every way that I can. I went to England, actually, in the mid-80s, pretty much as a fugitive from managed care, and stayed there for some 10 years, because healers over there are much more accepted by the medical profession.
Sure. The doctors here in HMO, I mean, that's pretty much what most people can afford is their HMO practitioner, if I could afford to, but the HMO is paid for. So I just stay away. But it's frightening, and the drug companies pretty much own them, I guess. They don't have a clue, and I hear it from the inside. It's just astonishing.
Well, I used to think that drug companies might be interested to know that healing can lessen the side effects of medication and can actually enhance how the medications work. But the drug company's way of dealing with that is to give another drug to handle the side effects of the first drug.
Oh, yeah. We got to make up for taking Vioxx off the market, and now they're starting to talk about statins.
Yeah.
But, I took my mascot cat from my website, Ricky, to a holistic doctor of veterinary medicine. He mixes mainly Eastern, but all sorts of things, and he'll do whatever you want. And I knew that Ricky, who's just, you know, 6 or 7 years old, would be put on prednisone, corticosteroids for the rest of his life by a regular doctor. And I took him in there, and the doctor spent about an hour with him, cost far less than a regular allopathic vet. And he had that cat just insanely in love with him by massaging him and, you know, a little Reiki for Ricky. And then I came away with some Chinese herbs, and we haven't seen one more instance of the problem since.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, it's just, you know, the cat does not believe in anything. And I discovered it years ago when they get cystitis, and I got them holistic The not flower remedies, the little tablets.
Homeopath?
Yes, yeah, that's it. The Highlands homeopathic, and that worked. It worked as well as drugs from the vet.
Yes. In Volume 2 of Healing Research, I've discussed homeopathy as an energy medicine intervention.
Mm-hmm.
Because they dilute the substance that they're using to treat people to such an extent that there can't even be a single molecule left in the medication that they're giving. And strangely, they find that the more they dilute it, the more powerful it becomes.
Isn't it wonderful? And it's people, they keep saying it's absolute bunk, but then others come back with studies that show it isn't, and it works. I never expect anything to work, and it does.
Well, when you start talking about medications, I'll tell you, that's a whole other ball game, because I know personally, I sit here on any given day, on any given channel, and I see these commercials for this, that, and the other. And the first thing I see is side effect this, side effect that. And now they're even putting side effects could be fatal.
Well,
now, why would I want to take a drug if it's one of the main side effects is killing me?
The sad thing is that we're sort of like frogs in a pot that's heating up.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if you put a frog in hot water, it'll jump out. But if you put it in just warm water and then heat it up to boiling, it sits there without jumping out because it sort of doesn't realize it's getting cooked.
And no.
We're letting this happen to ourselves with medication. Where more than 100,000 people a year in America die of medications that are properly prescribed.
Oh, it's astonishing. And just astonishing. But what you're doing is you're making me think of the, I can't pronounce the name, Kwanastachi, life out of balance. You're trying to balance everything. Excuse me?
I'm not familiar with that.
Oh, it's a film.
Kwanastachi, yes.
Yeah, I probably didn't say it right. But everything is out of balance, whether you call them chakra points or meridians, or your aim is to get everything balanced and find healing that way.
I'm curious, and I've had some questions earlier today by email about how dream analysis fits into all this.
Well, part of our biocomputer is our unconscious mind. And we estimate that about 95% of our awareness is unconscious. So dreams, oftentimes, are a way for our unconscious mind to sort of pique our curiosity about little bits and pieces that it might like to change.
They send messages if you listen.
Yeah.
Metaphors.
And if you listen to the dreams, if you sort of pull on the tail of that tiger, then it's wonderful what comes up. And the other way around, using imagery to help people works because it reaches in metaphorically through the image, through the meaning that your unconscious mind can derive from the image into corners that we don't even know exist in our minds.
Exactly.
So that the healing can really, really go deep.
And how do you help people get into their dreams? Well, I know it's very difficult for most people.
Well, if we just take a step back, Tamara, and ask, why is it that we don't remember things? Why do we shove things under the carpet? Mostly it's because we make the mistake of letting a child program our lifetime computer.
That's his children, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, you wouldn't do that with your laptop computer or your desktop computer. But all of us end up doing that, and we let a baby program our computer.
So all these things that we don't really have much conscious memory of really control how we behave now.
And then it's not just what happens to us, but what we do with it, because our mind, when we're a child, says, okay, we're in this hot situation that's pretty uncomfortable. What can we do? You know, we can't fire our parents. We can't hire new parents. We can't leave. So we end up just burying a lot of stuff inside.
Yeah.
Now, if we bury it, where does it go? It goes somewhere in our unconscious mind. So we get in the habit, if something comes along that we're unhappy with, we bury it.
Sure.
And that's probably the worst part of it, not just the what of what we've buried, but the how of burying it. And so we go on through life when we could be doing better, just programmed to go on burying things.
Yeah.
And I guess this is where the hypnotherapy comes in. Is this, or when you mention your hypnotherapy as part of the hypnopsychotherapy, I guess we'd call it, is this going back to find that point to suppress them?
Many people aren't very good at going into a hypnotic trance.
No.
And actually, many people don't even need to, because using some of the more rapid techniques of the meridian-based therapies, people can reprogram how they're reacting to things. And I might actually be able to demonstrate it more easily than talk about it, if one of you is game.
Sure.
Tamara, you noticed I kept quiet then, right?
Well, all unreal if I want.